We're talking about Bible marking today. I hope you have your Bible. When I went to Faulkner University, my dad gave me two pieces of advice. He said, take all the Wendell Winkler classes you could possibly take, and he said, stay away from credit cards. And both of those pieces of advice have benefited me for all of these years. It's now been 24 years since he gave me that advice. Brother Wendell Winkler is the one that taught me how to Bible mark in the first place. He introduced me to the concept of making my Bible something so practical that I'm comfortable with it, that I'm comfortable taking advantage of those teaching opportunities. And that's what I hope that we can accomplish in these next two sessions as we learn how to mark our Bibles. Does everybody have a handout? You do not have handouts. Do you know where the other? You need one too. Is that them? Would you mind passing them? Okay, just hold your hand up, please. Thanks. Okay, so we're going to start out with some basics, Bible marking basics. Some of you I know are already familiar with how to mark your Bibles, and I also want to say there is way more than one way to mark your Bible. What we're going to talk about is what Brother Winkler taught me all those years ago, and when I say something like, draw a squiggly line under this statement or put a circle around this word, you might think, I don't really care for squiggly lines. So you mark it the way you want to, and you might find that this method doesn't really feel good to you. It doesn't really feel comfortable to you. So you're going to develop your own style, your own way of marking it, and you may already have your own way of marking your Bible. So there, I know that there are lots of different ways to do this. Some tools. Let's talk about all that you need to mark your Bible is a reliable translation of the Bible. And by that I mean, try to use one that is mostly word-for-word translation and not paraphrasing. Some versions are paraphrases, and that's not really helpful to us when we're trying to mark our Bibles, when we're trying to see what God intended for us to see in the words that He used in the text. So hopefully you have a reliable translation with you this morning. The other thing that you'll need for Bible marking is a good pen. I keep mine with me in this little bag right here. It's all different colors of Bible marking pens. They're not really called Bible marking pens, but I call them Bible marking pens. My favorite, which I've listed on your paper, is the Micron Pigma pen. Right here, it's used by architects, scrapbookers. They have really fine tips. They don't bleed as much through the thin pages of your Bible, and they come in different colors and different sizes. On the tip, the pen cap, this one says 01. 01 is my favorite size because it's fine enough to write in the margin, but there are some that are even finer than 01. There's the 005, which my husband likes. But I feel like if you sneeze while you're writing, you're going to smush the tip. It is that delicate. You have to be very careful. If one of your kids gets a hold of it, forget it. Your pen is gone. At Higher Ground, we do Bible marking with the girls. I will pass this around if you would like to see. We do Bible marking with the girls. We have classes every day, and they love it, but I'm always telling them, we give them each a Bible marking pen, do not use this pen on regular paper. You will save this pen for your Bible only, right? And so some of them have started calling me the Bible marking pen Nazi, which I don't think is really fair, just because I've chucked something at them if I saw them using it on regular paper. These pens are available in the bookstore that's here for us this weekend. The Christian Family Bookstore. The Williams have made sure that they have these types of pens. So if you don't have one and you're interested, you can hop right, not now, but you can hop right over there and look for a Bible marking pen. All right, let's talk about the benefits of Bible marking. To me, the most important benefit is being able to take advantage of teachable moments. I know you're praying for those moments. I know that you are praying for opportunities to reach the lost, to be a light, to influence those in your community, to make a difference in the lives of the women and people that come in contact with you, because we all have that sphere of influence. I know you're praying for those opportunities. Do all of you have all of the scriptures in the Bible memorized? Go ahead and raise your hand. I don't either. And when someone comes up to you and they have a question about a Bible topic, it may be you know that verse is in there somewhere, but you're not sure where. If someone comes up to you, as happened to me not too long ago, we had a Bible study with a young woman who was a sponge. You know the type of study, that ideal Bible study, where everything she sees in the Bible, she says, I had no idea that was in there. She became a Christian. A few weeks later, she said, can we meet again? I have a question. Her question was, what does your church teach about homosexuality? Now, of course, when we receive questions like that, the first thing we say is, what does God have to say about it? Doesn't matter what we feel. What does God have to say about it? Well, thankfully, I have homosexuality as a topic marked in my Bible, because I was able to say, let's see what God has to say about it, and go from verse to verse and show her plainly how God views the practice of homosexuality. What if I didn't have that marked? I don't have those verses memorized. So I would have been saying, well, I know it's bad. I know God doesn't like it, and somewhere in here he says that. It wouldn't have been as effective for me to teach her not knowing where to take her in the Word. Now, of course, I could have said, let me look it up and I'll get back with you. But because I already had it marked as a topic, we were able to study about it on the spot. There was a situation where a woman said, my husband makes his own beer. Is this sin? Well, I have strong drink as a topic marked in my Bible, and we were able to go through verse by verse by verse and just look at what God has to say about strong drink and the cautions that he presents there. So you have the opportunity when you've marked your Bible to take advantage of those teachable moments, those teaching opportunities. And of course, you're going to want to have in your Bible how to teach someone how to become a Christian. We are not going to do that topic together. First of all, it takes a while. But secondly, it's because everybody has kind of their own approach. Personally, I like the Soul Survivor's Guide, which starts with Ephesians 1:3, which talks about all the spiritual blessings that are found in Christ. And you start looking at, there's over 20 listed in Ephesians alone. You start taking them to all those blessings that are found in Christ, and that builds a desire in them to want to be in Christ. If forgiveness is in Christ, what's outside of Christ? No forgiveness. If hope is in Christ, what do you have if you're outside of Christ? No hope. So after you show them all the blessings, then you answer the question, so how do I get into Christ? But there are other ways to show someone how to become a Christian, different approaches, and you're going to want to figure out the one that you would like to use when you're studying with someone, and make sure that's one of the topics that you have in your Bible. At the bottom of your page, somewhere, under D, Inspiration for Topics, you have a website, www.comefillyourcup.com. Erin Sprouse, would you stand up for a sec? Most of you probably know Erin Sprouse. She's the editor, thank you, of this website, which has daily Christian articles and also Bible marking topics once a month. If you want to see the plan of salvation that I've marked, you can look it up on the Come For Your Cup website, and it'll show you how to go through and mark that in your Bible, along with a lot of other topics. In fact, tomorrow's the first Wednesday of the month, right? Every first Wednesday of the month, a new topic comes out, and tomorrow's is the power of prayer. So if you want to check out that website, you can mark the power of prayer in your Bible. Okay, another benefit is personal study. If you're struggling with something, personally, if you're having a hard time forgiving someone or someone that's hurt you, if you're having a hard time feeling forgiven by God, if you're having a hard time with a difficult topic that you're not grasping, you can do that personal study and mark it as a topic for yourself. Being prepared to answer difficult questions. A lot of people believe in this idea of the rapture. Do you know how to teach them what the Bible says about it? So that's a topic that you could mark. Women's role. When you have visitors that come with you to worship and you say, do you have any questions about anything we did in worship today or anything we didn't do in worship? And they say, where's the piano? If that's a topic that you have marked, you can say, that's a great question. Let's talk about it. Let's study about it. Let me show you why we don't have a piano. Prepare to offer comfort to others. One of the topics that I have is simply comforting scriptures. And it's a whole series of scriptures that encourage, that uplift. And I like to have that topic because, are any of you note writers? Sending little notes and little letters, and you can always flip through and find that perfect scripture for whoever you're writing and just include it in the bottom of the notes. If somebody comes to you in tears and you really don't know what to say for whatever they're dealing with, you can open up to those scriptures on comfort and start listening to God together. So there's all kinds of benefits for marking your Bibles. Cautions. Let's see. There are some things that we need to be careful about. One of them is don't just flip to the back of your Bible and look up prayer and start marking all those verses on prayer. The reason is because some of those verses will be taken out of context. Whatever topic that you're looking up, you can go online, you can look in the back of your Bible, you can just Google scriptures on grace. And you'll receive a whole list of them, but many of them will be pulled out of context. And you don't want to mark that in your Bible if it's not even used accurately. So we want to handle aright the scriptures. We want to take the time to make sure we're doing the study for ourselves and we're not pulling verses out of context. We don't want to proof text. We don't want to pull certain verses out just to prove a point, my point of view, my opinion. We want to let God prove his points, so we're going to be very careful in our study. You may have heard the joke that you can make the Bible say whatever you want, you know, turn to verse whatever, Judas went out and hanged himself, then you flip to the next verse, go and do thou likewise, then you flip to the next verse, what thou doest, do it quickly. So we can make the Bible say whatever we want to. That's dangerous. So we're going to study with an open mind. We're going to see what God has to say and be very careful about the scriptures that we use. This type of study really is topical, and that can be dangerous. It's not like we're taking one text and exposing everything that we learned from it and what it has to say. We're studying how to talk to somebody about the fact that there's one church. That's a topic. And when you're studying for a topic, you have to be careful that you're not pulling verses out of context. Does that make sense? All right. Spend adequate time studying. Avoid shortcuts. As I already mentioned, just going online and finding a slew of verses. Inspiration for topics. This one's really fun. You've probably had a lot of inspiration already this week. I know I have. I was sitting there listening to Eddie Parrish last night. Were any of you here for that? Beautiful sermon. My sin is big, my God is bigger. And I'm listening to that and I thought, that would be a great Bible marking topic. I made myself a little note. Bible marking topic, the reality of sin. Because isn't that kind of a big deal today? There really is no sin except to judge someone who sins. Right, so that would be a great study, and I look forward to looking that up and looking up some verses on the reality of sin. Sermons, Bible classes that you sit in, when you're sitting in and you're learning about a topic, start jotting down all the scripture references that they're given in class so that you can go home and study it and see if it would be a good topic for you to mark in your Bible. Issues relevant to family and friends. You may have family members who are confused about something, some biblical teaching. Study it and mark it so that you can meet with them and study with them. You may have family members that are struggling with some personal feeling of worthlessness or guilt, whatever it may be. So pay attention to the people around you and what would be helpful for them. Questions. If you receive questions from friends or neighbors, those are clues for you on what you would need to have marked in your Bible. Personal interest. This is where you are in your life right now. Do you have small children? Write about all the verses that have to do with parenting. If you are taking care of your aged parents, that's a new and difficult phase of life. Look at those verses that are going to remind you why you're doing that and encourage you when it becomes difficult. Personal struggles, I've already mentioned that. If you're a gossip, that'd be a great topic to study so that when you fall again, you can listen to God reprimand you and remind you. Keywords and repetitive words. If you were in Denny Petrillo's exegesis class yesterday, he talked about those words, significant words that appear over and over again. If you see the word faith or works in Romans, you can go through and look at each verse that talks about how faith is used, how the word works is used, and what do you learn about it from that. That's another great idea for Bible marking. Another idea I came across was in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus used the word Father, I forget how many times, but it's a lot. And I thought, what a great study that would be. What we can learn about our Father just from the Sermon on the Mount. One of the topics I have is on marriage, building relationships in marriage, and it's all from Proverbs, because there are so many verses on marriage in Proverbs. That's a good one for a ladies' class or a study with young women. Current issues, homosexuality, abortion, whatever those things that society keeps trying to tell us is okay, we can make sure that we're ready to tell somebody and sit down with them and say, well, actually, God says this is not okay. And then I've listed my blog address and the Come Fill Your Cup address so that you can find other Bible marking topics, because we're only going to be able to do a couple in the time that we have together. Another benefit is there may be a time when you find yourself in a situation where somebody comes up to you and says, the ladies' Bible class teacher got sick. Can you take over? Can you step in her place? You may find that the teen girls' class teacher didn't show up and they need somebody to come in and teach them, or the middle school girls, or a devotional with women. If you've marked your Bible with a bunch of topics, you are always prepared for that. You are always prepared to say, yes, I can do that. Today we're going to talk about how to avoid jealousy. Turn with me in your Bibles. You will be prepared to take over a class or a devotional when the opportunity arises, and that's a good feeling. This is Vanna White. My helper here is, do you know who that is? Okay. I knew you did. She's going to write the verses on the board as we go through so that if you're a little slower, we can't wait on you really. So she's going to write them up there so that you can jot them down on paper at least as we're moving through. Okay, let's get started. Ma'am?
Do you want to write the topic up there?
In a second. But yes. Yeah. Okay. In the front of your Bible, if you have a blank sheet of paper, or in the back of your Bible, this is where you're going to list your topics. I have about 28. And this one, you're going to want to find a Bible that you will carry with you. Mine is small intentionally. If you've marked your Bible, but it's this big, chances are you're not going to carry it with you, and then you won't even have your tool for those teachable moments. This one to me is the perfect size, although as I get older, let me tell you. But find one that will tuck in your purse or your backpack or whatever so that you actually do have it with you. So when you have the blank page that you're going to use in your Bible, that's where you will list your topics. The first topic that we're going to do together is grace. So you would put number one, or if you already have topics in there, number whatever, write the word grace. When I Bible mark, I will put a double underline under the letter G in the word grace. And that's because anytime I go to another verse, I'm going to circle the verse number and I'm going to put a G next to it for grace. Now, the reason I do that is because there will be times when you're going to use the same verse for more than one topic. For instance, one of the topics I think is important is sinful past. And I probably use that more than any. When you're wanting to talk to somebody, you've talked to them about how to become a Christian, what do they say sometimes? You don't know what I've done. You don't know what I've done. So if you have sinful past marked in your Bible, you can sit down with them and say, you know, you can encourage them. You can show them lots of scriptures. Well, some of the verses in the sinful past Bible marking will overlap with ones on how to become a Christian. So, and also homosexuality. There's a verse that lists all of these horrible sins that say, and those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. One of those things is homosexuality. But the very next verse says, and such were some of you. So all of these things, from murder, homosexuality, backstabbers, liars, cheats, all of these things, such were some of you. Paul's talking to Christians. So that's encouraging for people who feel like they have a past. That's encouraging for people who have been living the homosexual lifestyle. You can change. You can overcome that. So sometimes it'll overlap. So if you have a G next to all those verses in whatever color, what color is that?
Blue.
Then the next time you're doing another verse, if I'm doing sinful past, I'm going to use a different color. I'm going to use green, and I'm going to put SP next to it. That's because at the end of the verse, then, you're going to have two verses listed. You're going to have the verse that you'll go to next for what did I say we were doing?
Grace.
And then you'll have another verse for sinful past, and I'll be thinking, well, which one am I supposed to go to for which topic? So if I've got G for grace in blue, the blue verse at the end of the verse is the one I'll follow for grace. If I've got SP for sinful past in green, the green verse at the end of the verse I know to follow for sinful past. Does that make sense? In my head, it's making a lot more sense, I think, than the way it's coming out of my mouth. Okay, so you're going to want multiple colors of your pen. So we have grace in the front of your Bible now. Maybe or maybe not, you double underline the G in the word grace. That's up to you. The first verse we're going to look at is Acts 18:27. So next to grace, put Acts 18:27. You put grace in Acts 18:27. Also, it would be good if you abbreviate scriptures. You're going to do a lot of writing and things in the margin, so come up with your own little system of abbreviating words, your own special version of shorthands, where you know what you mean, somebody else might not know what you mean. One of the things that I do on a regular basis is write the X for Christ. You know how some people get upset when you put Xmas instead of Christmas, but that actually stands for Christ in the Greek. And then the O with a line through it for God. So if you're writing things in the margin and you can remember to do things like that, it'll save you tons of space. Sorry. Okay. Once you have grace in Acts 18:27 in the front of your Bible, now turn to Acts 18:27. The reason I chose grace for us to mark together is because grace is misunderstood, right? It's a very common word that we hear all the time in our society. Country singers sing about grace. Katy Perry has a song that talks about God's grace. I don't know that she really understands God's grace. It's a word that we use all the time. It's a word that we hear about, but maybe don't necessarily understand it. I have a very close personal family member who is living in sin, who's fallen away from God, and at first he was remorseful. And when you would talk to him about coming back to God, he'd say, you know, we'd say, the prodigal son came home. Won't you come home? And he would say, the prodigal son had to come to himself, and I'm not there yet. Well, now he's convinced himself that he's okay, because why? God's grace. God's grace covers it. God wants him to be happy. So we are abusing the idea of God's grace when we do that. That's why I think it's important for us to have this topic marked in our Bible so we can really understand what God's grace means. Okay, Acts 18:27.
Hannah, write a little bigger because there's a bunch of people on the back.
Acts 18:27. So you're going to circle the number 27 and put a G next to it if you want to. And when he desired to cross to Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him. And when he arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace, for he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, showing from the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. When you come to these verses in your Bible, you can highlight whatever you want to in that verse that means something to you. When you see something that you know is important or significant or touches your heart, do whatever you want with it. When I mention things that I've underlined or circled, it's just because to me, it's what I know. If I'm studying with someone, this is what I would want to point out. It just reminds me of what to say in a teachable moment. So in this verse, I underlined, believed through grace. Believed through grace. And then I also circled that word grace. Hopefully what we're going to notice as we look through these verses is that grace is not some nebulous, inactive idea kind of word that's just floating around out there. A lot of the verses that we look at show grace is active. We have an active part in the idea of God's grace, even though it's a gift. Okay, so we can believe through grace. If you want to write in your margin, you might put produces belief. Produces belief. And then at the end of that verse, you're saying there's no space at the end of that verse. If there's no space at the end of the verse, write in the margin next to the verse, the next verse that we're going to go to, and just put 20:32. We're staying in Acts, so you don't have to write Acts. You're just going to put 20, chapter 20, verse 32. Thank you. Yes.
You circle the verse number.
Just the number.
Okay, mm-hmm. What color would you use if you're going to use that verse for multiple topics?
Well, it won't matter because it'll still draw your eye to the page. What will matter is the color of the topic itself. For example, if the next one is sinful past, you would have SP right next to it in a different color so that the verse at the end, now you don't have to keep circling it in different colors. No, good question. Thank you. Okay, so once you have 20:32 written there in the margin or at the end of the verse, turn over to chapter 20, verse 32. When you get there, circle the number 32 if you like. Put a G next to it. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. If you want to, you might underline which is able to build you up. What else does it do? What else do you think you would underline? And give you an inheritance. Underline give you an inheritance. And then circle that word grace. Remember, that's just helping it jump off the page at you when you turn to this verse. The word of his grace can do these things, can build you up, can give you an inheritance. And of course, we have a condition. What's the condition? Among all those who are sanctified. Very good. Made holy and set apart. At the end of the verse or in the margin, put Romans 5:21. R-O-M period. Romans 5:21. Once you get to Romans 5:21, circle verse 21, the number, put a G next to it. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I just want to say, I know as we're going through this kind of quickly that we're not taking the time to read previous verses. That would be helpful in your own personal study as you're reading through here. If you were studying with someone, you'd say, let's back up a little bit, see what he's talking about, see who's talking. So understand that as we're going through this, just to mark it right now, we're not going to have time to do that. Circle the word grace again, the word that we're studying. Grace reigns through righteousness to eternal life. When you go through and study this passage, you see that sin reigns or grace reigns, and it's up to us which one it is. If you want to make a note in your margin, now I drew a squiggly line under the word reign, R-E-I-G-N. You can note it however you like. You could put a box around it. And in the margin, I put what that word means. In the original language, the word reign means to be king. Be king. To rule over. To control completely. Be king. Rule over. Control completely. And that's why you want a teeny tiny little Bible marking pen, so you can write these things in the margin. So the question is sin king of my life or God's grace? At the end of that verse, write 2 Corinthians 4:15. 2 Corinthians 4:15. Is this an okay pace? Okay. When you get to 2 Corinthians 4:15, circle number 15 and put a G next to it. Hopefully you're already looking for the word grace in the passage so that you can circle it. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. So if you've circled the word grace, what do you think you'll underline in this verse? What does it cause? Thanksgiving. God's grace should cause thanksgiving to abound. That's what I underlined. At the end of that verse, write 8, verse 9. Chapter 8, verse 9, because we're staying in 2 Corinthians. 8, verse 9, and then turn over to that chapter. When you get to verse 9, circle it, put a G next to it. If I forget to say that for each verse, I'm sorry. I'm trying to remember to say that. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. Now, for this one, we are going to go up a little bit in some of the previous verses, and I'm going to have you mark some things and draw lines connecting the verses. Hopefully, this will make sense. Look up in verse 4. In verse 4, we read, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Now, you know, ministering carries with it the idea of serving. displaying an act of service. In that verse, if you like, please circle the word gift, circle the word ministering, and this will all make sense in a minute. In verse 5, it says, not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord. Circle the word gave. And then to us by the will of God, verse 6, so we urge Titus that as he had begun, so he would also complete this grace in you. Circle the word grace. Verse 7, as you abound in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence, and in your love for us, see that you abound in this grace. Circle the word grace there. And then in our verse 9, have you circled the word grace already? Okay. And then I also circled, he was rich, he became poor. He was rich, he became poor. Now, hopefully in that one pericope, as Jenny Petrillo would say, you have a bunch of circles. Draw a line from all of those circles, connecting them one to the other. Does that make sense? Like, circle, draw a line to the next circle, to the next circle, to the next circle, wherever it falls on your paper. Well, what are we learning about grace from this passage? In your margin, write, can be seen through actions. Can be seen through actions. The last verse we looked at talked about the fact that grace causes thanksgiving to abound. Sometimes the word thanks is the same Greek word for grace. And it's something that we display. It's something that we act out in our lives. We serve because of God's grace. We serve because thanksgiving is abounding in our lives. So hopefully as you look through this passage and you see the words that you've circled, these are things that other people can see us doing, that other people can see in us. So grace can be seen through our actions. All right, at the end of verse 9, put Ephesians 2:5. Ephesians 2:5, and then turn there. You're doing such a good job. Once you get to Ephesians 2:5, circle number 5, put a G next to it. Okay, verse 4 talks about God being rich in mercy. Verse 5, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, by grace you have been saved. Okay, so this one's pretty straightforward. Circle the word grace. What does grace do according to this passage? Saves us. So you'd underline that part. You have been saved. At the end of that verse, put 2 Thessalonians 2:16. Okay, I think we can get it done. And when you get to 2 Thessalonians 2:16, circle the verse number, put a G next to it. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace comfort your hearts, la la la. So circle the word grace. And what do we get by grace? Okay, eternal comfort and good hope. True hope. We just had a wonderful weekend at Come Fill Your Cup studying 2 Thessalonians, and we talked about the fact that if our hope comes from our own good works, then every time I mess up, every time I sin, I lose a little bit of that hope. But true hope comes from God's grace. That's why we can remain faithful, remain steadfast. All right, at the end of that verse, put 2 Timothy 2:1. 2 Timothy 2:1. Now, when it's the first verse in a chapter, you really don't have anything to circle. So just put a G by that verse. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Okay, so circle the word grace. What do we learn about grace? Two things, exactly. The first one is, according to the verse, what? It strengthens us. That's where we find our strength. Be strong in it. And then we also learn where it's located. Where is grace located? In Christ. So if you're not in Christ, do you have the grace of God? No. Okay? So if you want to underline, be strong, and also underline in Christ Jesus, that's important when we're talking to someone. And then at the end of the verse, write Titus 2, 11 and 12. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. This is almost our last verse. Okay. Circle 11, put a G next to it. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearance of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, this verse is chock full of information for us about God's grace. And when you're studying with someone about it, you're going to camp out here for a while. In fact, in addition to circling the word grace in this passage, I underlined the entire passage. Because everything in this passage tells us how grace affects our personal lives and the daily choices that we make. And then it's going to seem weird that we're going backwards, but I added on to this topic. So at the end of that verse, put Galatians 1, 6. We're going to flip back to Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. Do you think I should stop here and just finish it up in the next section? Next session.
No, you're good.
No? Okay. All right, Galatians 1, 6, circle number 6, put a G next to it. I marvel that you are so turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, etc. Circle the word grace. We are called in the grace of Christ, if you want to underline that part. At the end of the verse, put 2:21. We're staying in Galatians, so it's 2:21. And then in chapter 2, verse 21, circle 21. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. So circle the word grace. And underline set aside. God's grace can be set aside. That's a choice that we make. It's not something that we have automatically, no matter what, for the rest of our lives. The whole idea of you can't fall from grace is not biblical. We can set it aside. We can reject it. At the end of that verse, put 5:4, because we're staying in Galatians. Galatians 5, verse 4. Circle number 4, put a G next to it. You have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. Circle the word grace, underline fallen from. That's pretty straightforward, that you can fall from grace. And then put Jude 4 next to it, Jude 4. circle verse 4, put G next to it. I'm just going to tell you what to do in the verse. Circle the word grace. It's toward the end of the verse. And then underline that phrase, turn the grace of our God into lewdness. That word lewdness, by the way, means sensuality, immorality, indulgences. So we can abuse God's grace. And then finally, at the end of that passage, put Romans 6, verses 1 and 2. Romans 6, 1 and 2. And you're going to circle the word grace mentioned in verse 1. This is where Paul asked the question, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And what's his answer?
God forbid.
God forbid. Certainly not. When someone says, God's grace covers it. God wants me to be happy. Paul says, that's abusing God's grace. Grace is what sets us free from sin and makes us not walk according to the flesh, as you see later in chapter 6. Okay, thank you. I'm sorry that we ran over a few minutes. In the next section, I won't have all the preliminary explanations. We'll be able to just jump right into our topic. So hopefully you still get a little bit of a break before then.